There's a painting. It's called An Allegory of Prudence. It was a 16th century artist, and his name was Titian, and he portrayed Prudence as this man with three heads, okay? And one head was looking to the future, one head was looking to the present, and one head was looking to the past. And it's called Prudence, and underneath it was it written in Latin. It said this: from the example of the past, the man of the present acts wisely for the future. Now think about what this is. From what we see from the past, the man in the present acts in such a way that'll be wise for the future. We might say it this way: learn from the past so we can live wisely now and affect our future in a positive way. So sometimes it takes a while. We think about what were we like? What's happened in the past? What's going on right now? And what about the future? So that's what we want to do this morning. We're just going to look at it. We're going to look at the past, the present, and the future. We're going to look at it that way. We're going to look at it in four ways. And let me just say this. We want our lives to count for Christ so that when we stand before Jesus, he'll say, well done. That's what you want. I mean, we don't want to play around, you know. Let's think about it. There's only so much time left. The older you get, the more you realize how fast everything goes. And that you don't have that much time. Now, when you're young, you think everything's forever, but you never know. And Jesus Christ could come when? Any second, he could. So we want to live our lives. We want to run the race with endurance. We want to fight the fight. We want to keep the faith. We want to do what Paul said at the end of the 2 Timothy, where he said, I've fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. So we want to look in four ways, and this is how we want to do it. We're going to look one way in the past. We're going to look back at the past, what's happened in the past for us. We're going to look in the present two different ways. I'll explain it in just a second. And then we'll look in the future one aspect way. Let me show you what I mean. We're going to talk about the past, and we're going to take a look backward, and we're going to remember what God has done for us and God's grace. In fact, I want us to think about thanksgiving and praise and what God's done for us in the past. Then we're going to look at the present, and we're going to look at it in two ways, and I call it inward, which means we look at our own growth and our own service, and then we're going to look upward, which is our fellowship with God, our God and Savior. That's right now. Are you growing? What's your relationship with God like? That's the key for the present. The future is we're going to look forward, and we're going to think about the charge to run the race for Christ in May 2017, which sounds so funny. It's so funny. I go to the bookstores. I love bookstores, and over holidays, I go to the bookstores, and then I saw Orwell's 1984, and I can remember the first time I ever saw 1984. It was about 1965, and we had to read 1984, and I remember thinking, 1984? How far in the future that is. In 1965, 66, I mean, how many years is that? That's 18 years. When you're 16 years old, 18 years is more than you've lived. Now we think, 1984, how long ago was that, right? Time goes by so fast. This is 20 what? 17? I'm not even sure I thought I'd ever live to be 2017. And here we are. And we got so much to look forward to. So let's start with the past. Let's start with the past, and let's look backward. And you're in Ephesians, and what we want to do is I want you to think about thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving to God for what he's done, and praise for the security that we have in Christ. Let's begin what we were like in the past. Now, we don't want people coming up here and telling us, because Susie could come up and it could be so bad. We wouldn't even want to think about it, right? But what we do see something in Ephesians 2, 1 through 6, he actually tells us what we were like. And when we think about our past, we can say, wow, this is what I was like, but I'm so thankful and I have praise for God for what he has done. Ephesians 2, 1 says we were dead in sin. Look what this says. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were spiritually dead. We come into this world spiritually dead. I can remember being 19 years old thinking I knew everything and I didn't know anything. And I was spiritually dead. I didn't understand anything about God. I didn't know anything. I just knew there was a God. That's all I knew. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Look at this. It's amazing because the word, he uses two words for sin right there. He uses the word trespass and sins. The word trespass actually means step across the line. You see it when people go hunting and you see it says no trespassing. Don't come onto this land. And you might say, I'm going to step across the line. I'm going to go into this man's land. The word trespass means to step across the line. It means to sin on purpose is what it actually means. It means I know this is wrong and I'm going to do it anyway. We were dead in our sins. And then it says, and sins. And the other words for sin just means to miss the mark. It means like you might be trying, but you can't measure up. We were spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. And then look what he says. He says, this is how we lived. He says, in which you formerly walked according to this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil. And then in verse 3, he says, and also the lust of our flesh. We lived according to the world, the devil, and the flesh. That's how we were in the past. This is before we trusted Christ as Savior. For some of you, you may have been older when you trusted Christ. For many of you, you were young when you trusted Christ. But it didn't matter whether you were 6 years old or 19 years old or 30 years old or 50 years old. You were still spiritually dead. You lived according to the world, the flesh, and the devil. But this is where the past gets good. Look at verse 4. But God. Now see the contrast? This is what we were like. We were dead. We lived according to the world. We lived according to the devil. We lived according to the lust of the flesh. We were destined for wrath, but God. It says, God who is rich in mercy. But God who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Now I want you to think about it. What did God do? God is rich in mercy. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. What do every one of us deserve? Death and separation from God. But God, because of his great mercy and great love in which he loved us, God so loved the world. What did he do? Look what it says. But God being rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive. God took us from being dead in sin and made us alive. And how did he do it? Notice what it says. Even when we were dead in our transgression and sins, he made us alive together with Christ, and he puts a little parenthesis to tell us how he did it. How? By grace you have been saved. By grace. By grace we have been saved. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the love of God. Those are three words you need to remember. They're all in this little passage. But God being rich in his mercy with his great love, which he loved us, by grace you have been saved. Grace, mercy, and love. God's love is the motivation for his grace and his mercy. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We don't deserve eternal life. We get it. We do deserve separation. We don't get it. And that's all based on the love of God. Now, I want you to think about it. Wow. Are you thankful that God loved you and showed you grace and mercy? This is the past. Notice what he says. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. But by grace, we have been saved. He goes on to verse 8 and 9. Notice what he says. It is by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. It's not of yourselves. The gift of God is not a result of works, lest anyone should what? Boast. You can't boast. Listen, if anybody says you can do anything to go to heaven, then you can boast. If somebody said you need to walk down an aisle, you can boast. I walk down the aisle. If somebody said you need to repent of your sins, and they mean by that, turn away from your sins, you could boast and say, I turned away from my sins. If there's anything you could ever do, you could boast, but you can't, because there's not anything you can do. It's by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. When we look at our past, and as we start this new year, we look at our past and we say, wow, God took us who were dead in sin, who were living according to the world, the flesh, the devil. He took us, and in his grace and mercy and love, he saved us by his grace through faith. That's what we see. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love toward us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. John 3:16, is God so loved who? Us, that he gave his son. Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and we want to thank him. So the first thing I want you to think about is thanking God for saving us. We were dead in sin, and now we're alive in Christ, and it's all because of what he's done. We are thankful. May we thank God for our salvation. So as we start this year, we want to look back, and we want to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. But there's more. There's more than that, because there's a praise aspect, and that's our security. Because there's some things that we sometimes forget, and there's some things that people you deal with every day that don't understand this. They might even say to you, oh yes, you can be saved by faith in Christ, but they think you could lose it. They think if you do something bad, or if you don't keep doing good, or you don't live right, either you never had it or you don't have it somehow. But I want you to remember, the praise is this, that we can praise him for our security. We are safe in Christ. The moment you believe, what does he give you? Eternal life. How long does that last? When we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, he gives us eternal life, and that life lasts what? Forever. I hope not one of you in this room ever doubt your salvation. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, you can't boast. He gives you life, and he gives you life forever. That's why John 3:16 says that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have what? Eternal life, everlasting life. I love Titus 1:1-2. It says, God who cannot lie promised eternal life. What did he promise you the moment you believed? Eternal life. When do you get it? Right then. Now see, you're going to be dealing with people every day that think it's works for salvation. And then even if they don't think it's works for salvation, they think it's works to keep it. So you can believe in Jesus and be saved, but if you don't live right or if you do bad, you lose it. They don't understand. Salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone. And here's what's so great. Our salvation does not depend on our faithfulness. It depends on God's faithfulness. God made a promise. I love his promises, right? I mean, you could come to me and say, JB, you promise you'll do something. I might say, I promise, but that doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Because I might not do it. I mean, and I might even try to do it. I might say, oh, I got to go do that. And then something happens and I can't get there to do it. Or I said, I'll give you this. And then I don't have it to give. And so human beings can't be trusted completely. We can't be because we're not all powerful and we just can't do it. But God cannot lie. God is all powerful. God said, I give you what? Eternal life, and you'll never perish. So we should, when we look back and we think about it, there's thanksgiving and praise to God. Thanksgiving because we've been saved by grace through faith, and praise to God because of our security. So that's our past, right? So as we start this new year, we think back and go, thank you, Lord, for saving me, and praise your name that I'm secure in Jesus Christ. So from our past, we should be excited, right? Let's talk about our present. When we talk about our present, we're going to look at it in two ways. We're going to look at it ourselves. We're going to look inward. Then we're going to look upward, which deals with fellowship with God. So that's the two things. Present tense, now. What about our lives now, us, and what about our lives in our relationship with Jesus Christ? So let's start with inward, okay? And when we talk about inward, there's two things I want to think about, our growth and our service. Now, this is vital. What breaks my heart is there are people who've trusted Christ as Savior, and they've been saved for years, and they've never grown as Christians. They do not know the Bible. Even people who come to churches that teach the Bible, I mean, it's so easy to come and hear the Bible taught but not learn it or know it because you don't study it yourself or you don't put it in the application. I mean, it's just so easy. You know people that you can ask them a Bible. You can take a Bible trivia book and just say, okay, here's a Bible trivia, and most people don't know any of the answers. We're Christians. This is our book. We should know all the answers, or all the main answers. We know there's little bitty detail stuff in there that people go, oh, I never heard of that. But we're talking about knowing the big stuff. Let's talk about growth. We want to be growing. We want to be growing. In this year, present tense, we want to be growing. Romans 8:29 says that we're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That means every one of us in this room, as days go by, as it gets closer and closer to him coming to get us, we want to be conformed to his image. That means we want to be like him. And how do we do that? Listen, 2 Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow. The Bible tells you to grow. The Bible tells us that, listen, we start off as newborn what? Babies. But he says, as a newborn babe, you desire the what? The sincere milk of the word that you may grow by it. But later on, he says, quit being a what? A baby. Quit being a baby. Start growing. Start knowing what you believe, that kind of thing. And so the question that we would say is, are we growing? And how can we grow? Well, the key foundation for growth is the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, all scriptures inspired by God and profitable. And it says, for reproof, for correction, for training, for teaching, all this, so that we may grow and mature as Christians. So here's the question for all of us in this room, including me. Are we going to grow this year? Are we going to know the Word of God? Are we going to apply the Word of God? Are we going to be changed? Are we going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? I love this passage in Hebrews. It says this, It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk, what are they? What are they if they take milk? They're babies. He says, and is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, but he is a babe. This says they're babies. If all you got is the basic little stuff, you're still a baby. Okay, we can't be babies. Here's what he goes on to say. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That's people who have studied the Bible and know it and been able to understand right from wrong and understand the principles and the truths, and they grow. They got the solid food. Sometimes Paul called it the meat. Over in Corinthians, he says, your babies, you need milk. He says, but you need to have meat. You need to be growing. You need to be doing. We're to be growing and maturing. You got to know the Bible. You got to know the Bible and you got to apply the Bible. That's why our courses are so important. That's why we say, listen, be in a grow group because we're going to teach you and then we're going to get in the smaller groups. Come to the SBI. Take one of those courses so you can begin to understand truth and make application. Sunday morning, we're studying through 2 Timothy. After we get through that, we'll study another book. We'll put it together. You need to do that. Have your own personal Bible study. If you said, I don't know how to do my own personal Bible study, the 4:12 class teaches you, and the class I'm teaching this semester, Becoming a Disciple Maker, is going to talk about both of those. The first 7 lessons of Becoming a Disciple Maker talks about evangelism. The second 7 lessons of Becoming a Disciple Maker talks about getting into the scripture yourself, how to study it, make application, and pass it on to others. Every one of us in this room ought to be conformed to the image of Christ. Every one of this room ought to know the scripture. Every one of this room ought to be teaching other people the scripture. That's what it talks about. So our growth is as he says in Philippians, he says, the things you've learned and received and heard and seen. Paul says, Timothy, the things I taught you, practice these things. Live them out. So for all of us, for growth, we're going to have to know the Bible. And my challenge to all of us is get your personal Bible study, get into the Grow Group, get in the 4:12, get in the 2:2, which will be next year, get into the CBI class, get into the Becoming a Disciple Maker, get into New Testament Survey. We got all kind of courses that you can learn. Okay, so that's our growth. But there's a second part, and this is a key. That's our service. Now, service. Listen. As a believer, you are to serve the living God. First Corinthians 4:2, it is required of a steward to be found what? Faithful. We're to take the gifts, talents, and abilities that God's given to us and be faithful. Every one of us in this room, listen, I know this is a challenge, but it's time that we as believers stop settling for less. It's time that we say, listen, I'm supposed to be like Christ. I'm supposed to know the Bible. I'm supposed to grow. I'm supposed to teach others. I'm supposed to take the gifts that I have, and I'm supposed to use those and touch lives in the body of Christ. So we're to take the gifts, talents, and abilities. Look at this. We're going to talk about this today. It's 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received, it doesn't say special gift. I'm going to mention that this morning. It actually says, as each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whatever spiritual gifts you have, you're to serve and use them in the body of Christ. And you might say, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, we've got a spiritual gift inventory. We can help you. But the truth is, even if you never take a spiritual gift inventory, what are your desires? How do you like to serve? Where do you feel fulfilled? Jump in there and help in the nursery. Jump in there and help greet. Jump in there and do this. And you'll find pretty soon, you'll say, you know, that's not for me, but this really is. You'll be able to find where you can plug in and where God can use you in mighty ways. So as we look inward, okay, we look inward, we see our growth to know and apply the Bible, to be like Christ, and our service to be faithful to use our gifts. Now, we're still in the present because we're inward, but we also need to look upward. And that's our fellowship with God. Now, we have an eternal relationship with God. I want you to understand that. A lot of times people say something like, well, you don't want to lose your relationship with God. You can't lose your relationship with God. The moment you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, as many received him, he gave the right to become children of God. You're a child of God. You have a relationship with God. It'll never end. But you can lose your fellowship with God. And we, this year, now, we've got to talk about our fellowship with God, spending time with him. Galatians talks about walking in the Spirit. That means being controlled by the Holy Spirit as we go through life. We got to do that. I want you to turn from Ephesians to Philippians. Just turn one more book back to Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to see something that Paul said. Now, as you're turning there, Let me ask you a question. Would all of us say that Paul was pretty great? I mean, wrote 13 letters of the New Testament. He's apostle to the Gentiles. Paul says he's the number one sinner in the world, you know. But we look at what he did and how he lived and his whole life. We'd say, man, I'm not anything like Paul, but I'd like to be. That's what we want to say. Look what Paul says as far as his fellowship with Jesus Christ. Look what he says, Philippians 3, look at verse 10. He says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship.